This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The Cincinnati Reds will play opening day much later than usual, with the COVID-19 pandemic cutting the season short by more than 100 games, delaying it by a few months. There will be no Findlay Market opening day parade. In fact, there won't even be fans at the ballpark as the region, the country, and the world continue to grapple with the novel coronavirus. But play ball they shall, and hopes are high for this year's Reds club, with some analysts expecting big things and maybe even a postseason run for our home team. So Cincinnati Edition previews the upcoming season with Cincinnati sports writer John Arrarda, who joins us on the phone. John, welcome back to the program.
Michael, thank you very much.
And we also have on the phone with us Fox Sports Radio host Andy Furman. Andy, always great to have you.
Thank you so very much for having me, and it's great seeing and hearing the one and only John Arrarda, a tremendous author as well as columnist. I love the man dearly.
Well, we're glad that we're going to get along today. And we also have with us WVXU senior political analyst, who also happens to be a lifelong Reds fanatic, Howard Wilkinson. Howard, thanks for taking the time as well.
Yes, thank you. And I love John Arrarda dearly.
Well, John, I think you owe me for this. I'm bringing you on to this love fest.
So let's checks are in the mail, fellas.
Well, since you're the most popular guy in the room, virtually, let's talk to you first, John. Baseball is back, and I'm wondering if you can just put your sports cap on and also your world citizen cap on, and explain to us the impact on just our psyche that the return of American baseball could have on us as we continue to grapple with this thing.
Yes. First, I'll speak about my own psyche, Michael. At first, I thought, 60-game season, maybe I'll tune in the last 10 or 15 games, see how the Reds are doing. But obviously, that feeling didn't last long. Once I heard opening day was right around the corner, I couldn't wait. I'm very excited about this team. You're right. I think hopes are high. Wouldn't surprise me if they won even 38 or 40 games, which of a 60-game season is quite a bit. Now, my world cap would say, I think for once, we're all rooting for the same thing, that they'll get the entire schedule in. That is the 60-game regular season and the postseason. So we can see this through. I mean, you know, I know, Howard and Andy know that baseball has survived so much. It was around for World War II. It got through the pandemic of 1918. All the unrest in this country, they kept playing baseball. It's the one thing I think that can do a lot for the national psyche, just to have the national pastime back and playing again. And yes, I think it's going to be different without fans, but the players are so tuned in. They've had a lifetime of playing baseball in front of basically nobody, both in Little League and high school and college. And for the most part, I think they're going to adapt well. I expect baseball to be played at a very high level, maybe not the first 10 or 15 games because they're rusty, but I think all in all, it's going to be a very good season.
Andy, your thoughts on that?
I think it's tremendous. I'll tell you why. I said we're so full of negativity now with the news, and certainly it's what's happening now is the reality. But just to get our minds off of that, and John brought up a great point. If you remember World War II, I don't, because it's before my time. Maybe he does. Maybe Mr. Wilkinson does. But I know FDR, I read this, said that we will play baseball, though many of the great stars were fighting in the war. But FDR said we have to keep positivity on the home front. So I think it's great, number one. Number two, I've always believed that less is more. And I think the 60-game schedule is tremendous. I mean, why play 162 games to filter out the best team and then after that finally go into playoffs? I don't think it doesn't mean anything, 162. I love 60 games. Every game is going to mean so much. It's going to be tremendous. And I love it, and I can't wait.
Howard, you know, during the baseball season, if we follow you on social media, goodness knows we see a lot of shots of you at Great American Ballpark. So just as a fan, what does it mean to you to have baseball back in a way that may not yet allow you to be there?
Right. Well, I'm glad at least I'm not going to be a cardboard cutout at the ballpark this year. But no, I, as somebody who's been a lifelong Reds fan, I have to look at this team, at least on paper, and that's the only way we know this team so far, really. It has the potential to just be a tremendous team. If I were an opposing pitcher and I was looking at this lineup that the Reds are going to put out there, you know, with people like Moustakas and Castellanos and now Akiyama and Suarez and Votto and everybody, and people like Jesse Winker, who I think is going to have a tremendous run and possibly as a DH. It's very good ball club with a great starting pitching staff.
Andy, there is some buzz around this year's Reds team in spite of the weirdness around the season. How badly does Cincinnati need a good run in the high-level sports?
Well, they need to get a good start, but the upside for the Reds this year, they're going to play 14 of the first 25 games against the Tigers, Royals, and Pirates, and they got a tremendous rotation, as Howard leaned to. I mean, Sonny Gray, Castillo, Trevor Bauer, these guys, I mean, one of those three guys could easily win the Cy Young Award this year, so they come out to a fast start. Don't be going out 1-8 like you did last year, but I think they'll come out, they have the confidence right now. More than that, got a guy like Mike Moustakas, who's basically a winner. He won it all with the Royals. He knows how to win. And sometimes a player like that in the clubhouse, and John knows this, can kind of filter off into the other players and give that confidence and the winning attitude that they need.
So he's going to love this ballpark.
For sure. We heard from Reds president and COO Phil Castellini just today, and I do want to play some sound from what he had to say. This first clip comes from his comments about what the fan experience could be.
I was here last night watching the exhibition game. I think our production crew is doing a great job with that. So it's going to be about following your team on the TV and radio this year. And for now, that's what we have to do. This week, we are submitting a plan for fans in 2020 at about a 20% capacity. That's what this stadium fills out to if we follow the 6-foot social distance rules. So we will be submitting a plan this week and hopefully get approvals for at some point this year to see some fans in the ballpark. But we have to be prepared to deal with the realities of today, and we are.
John Arardi, local sports writer. You heard Phil Castellini say right there that maybe there's still hope that at least there could be a few fans in the stadium at some point.
Yes, I will remind you that the great Casey Stengel said, don't make predictions, especially about the future. And, of course, the old professor, I would think, was right about that. I personally will make the prediction. I don't really expect to see fans in the stands during the regular season, but I would think if they get through it, there'll be fans in the stands for the postseason. Now, hopefully I'm wrong, and we do have fans during the regular season, but it was good to hear Phil's voice, good to hear him be optimistic about it. And I think, you know, hope springs eternal, not just for the Reds, but for our collective fandom so people can get out to the ballpark. I was wondering about that, you know, what the Reds can do, if anything, to make it a communal experience. And it's just so hard because anything communal is pretty much out nowadays, unfortunately. But I think the very fact that every game will be televised, and, of course, this is a radio town, those are going to be on, you know, basically every street in the city. I think you can walk from house to house and never miss a Reds play in this town. But I would say it's good to hear the optimism, but I think it may be a bit too optimistic. Let's just get through the season intact and play the 60 regular season games and get to the World Series.
Castellini also spoke about the attention that will be paid to players' health.
The safest place that there is for the players to be is in this building. In terms of the protocols, every couple day testing, where each player and everybody on tiers 1 and 2 does a self-test every day, temperature monitoring, and about a 15-question questionnaire that you submit every single day. So we are literally monitoring everyone in the system every day, tests every couple of days, and we're getting those responses back within 24 to 48 hours. And so when and if you do have a problem, you're able to isolate those quickly. We've been very blessed, and so far we've got a great, healthy, energized staff, and we're going to continue to follow these protocols religiously to keep them that way.
Fox Sports Radio host Andy Furman, tell us, as we watch the COVID-19 virus cases spike locally across the country in various states, there's got to be concern about bringing these folks together. And I'm wondering about the implication for other sports as we head towards football season. And
now, wait just a minute, Mr. Phil Castellini. I just heard what you said. The safest place in that building is going to be for the ballplayers. What about the fans? See, that's the thing right there. The first thing he says is going to have 20% maybe fans at the end of the season making a proposal. Then he says it's the safest place in here for our ball players. But what about for the fans? There are people right now, and I hate to go off on a tangent here, but there are people right now in our great city that are getting tested and not getting the results for days or even weeks, and they're getting it back in 24 to 48 hours. I understand they're privileged. I understand the athletes are privileged. Maybe they should be. I don't know. NBA players are getting it back in 24 hours as well. But don't tell me to come into your ballpark after the players are going to be safe and I'm not going to be safe. I ain't going. Okay, I love baseball. I love the Reds. I'll be watching on TV.
Well, first of all, I don't think anyone believes you hate going off on a tangent. And second of all, thank you very much for actually saying that, because I think it's a valid point to raise. We also heard Castellini talk about the fan experience in another way, because there's more ways to enjoy the game than just going to it while gathering in crowds. Let's hear that.
You know, we'd like to see the banks get activated as soon as possible, but respectfully, we've got to wait till the city is ready to do that and activate having the bigger crowds down here again and doing some viewing parties. We've got a lot of those plans in the works, but there's been other issues, as you know, in the city that you got to be cognizant of. And most importantly, we all have to focus on the fact that we do not have a handle on this pandemic. We do not have numbers that are going down consistently like we'd like them to see it. So until then, I can't present a case where I am promoting bringing people together in a way that's irresponsible in any fashion. So for now, again, I think we got to promote the fact that we want you to celebrate and follow this team from home, from the safety of home, and otherwise do what you can in the community to keep yourselves and the other citizens of Greater Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky safe. And when it's appropriate to be bringing people back together in bigger numbers, certainly, you know, we love to throw a party and we'll be doing just that.
WVXU's Howard Wilkinson is with us on the line. Howard, as we noted, you like to go to the stadium and watch the games. The fact is, most fans, when they're watching a game, are watching at home in some capacity. You think we're going to adjust to this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can. I mean, I'm going to have to. Really, I think it's a moot point to think about the fact that the idea of having a crowd down there this year, it's just not going to happen. There's too many hoops that the Reds would have to jump through in order to get that plan approved. Cincinnati Health Department, number one, Major League Baseball, number two, and finally, Governor DeWine and his office and the Ohio Health Department. I mean, it's just not going to happen. So, you know, if you're going to follow the Reds in 2020, it's going to be on the radio or on television.
Okay, we got to get a quick break in, and I know we heard the quote just moments ago about we shouldn't make predictions, especially about the future, but we are going to make some predictions. I'm going to get your takes on what the season might look like. I also want to hear from y'all on your thoughts of the virtual fans that are being funneled into the stadiums as well. We will continue our Reds preview next. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with a preview of the upcoming Reds season. It starts on Friday. We've got Cincinnati sports writer John Arari with us. John, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Fox Sports Radio host Andy Furman is here, too. Hi, Andy.
How you doing?
And WVXU senior political analyst and big-time Reds fan Howard Wilkinson. Hello, Howard.
Hey, Michael.
Okay, let's talk about some of the scenarios that broadcasters and even stadiums themselves are pumping into the audience's minds while they watch this very strange baseball season. John, your thoughts on this artificial crowd noise that or even visuals that we might see this season?
Well, I definitely agree with Joey Votto that whoever came up with that idea is not a former player. The players don't need that. I think the fans might. It's kind of funny. I don't really like laugh tracks on the comedies on TV, but I think with time you'd get used to it, just like the original TV didn't have laugh tracks, and people laughed their heads off about the shows with Sid Caesar and Imogen Coca. So I think fans would get used to it, but I don't think TV's willing to take that chance. They're going to pump in that crowd noise and make it a little bit more of a fan experience. But overall, I think Andy and Howard would agree. I think the baseball is going to be every bit as good as ever, with or without the soundtrack, you know, background.
Well, Andy, back in March, when the NCAA basketball tournament was just about to start, we saw some videos going around on Twitter about what the games might sound like, and people had removed the crowd noise, and all we heard was that iconic noise of the squeaky sneakers on the court. And so it was strange, but it was also interesting. You think we'll get used to this, too?
You know, I'm not so certain it's the fan experience they're looking for. I think they're frightened about what they may get carried on air. The voice, in other words, you hear a player ragging another player or a manager arguing with the umpire, I guess they don't want those sounds going on, I guess. I mean, because I know with the NBA, they were thinking maybe with natural sound that maybe would tape delay so they wouldn't have that trash talking heard on air. So I like it. I'm used to it. I listened the last two nights to the games, and it was really corny. Even when the guy hit a home run for the Reds, they would have the fireworks go off in the background. But it was basically the same drone on crowd. It wasn't any hype or lesser or more so than anything else. So it's there. I'm used to it. I'd rather have it than not have baseball at all.
Well, that's a great point you raised, though, because athletes can be profane. And if there's not crowd, then and we're more likely to hear it. That's a very interesting point. Howard, let's run through here. We need to make some predictions. It's a 60-game season. How many games do you think the Reds are capable of winning this year?
With this team, I mean, it's very hard to say, but I'll give them I could see them winning 40 out of this. You know, the thing that you're talking about the crowd noise, just parenthetically, I was listening to a Jim Day podcast. He had Tucker Barnhart on there, and Tucker said, well, you know, without any fan noise, you know, if I strike out, you're going to need like a 10-second delay. Because sometimes I don't talk very nice when I strike out. And he said the same thing is true with somebody like Votto. You know, you'll hear him all over the ballpark. But anyway, no, I think this team could really go all the way if things break right, if they don't have injuries. The talent pool that the Reds are putting into this thing is, to me, just tremendous and very, very deep. And that's the key to it.
Hey, Andy, how about NKU grad Nate Jones making the opening day roster?
Great hometown story. He's a good kid. It doesn't got to stay healthy, though. His career has been kind of hit pretty hard with injuries. But when healthy, he's great. And you know what? The only thing that I look at this season, and I'm with Howard, I think this is a great team. I think that the Cy Young Award winner could come from a Reds pitching staff member. But there's going to be people going to say, well, put an asterisk next to it. No, they won. If they win, they win. End of story. Forget the asterisk, because this is going to be in 10, 15 years from now, no one's going to remember what happened. They'll look at the winner and they'll say it was Cincinnati Reds. End of story.
Oh, sure. I mean, in a lot of ways, this is a more challenging season than
exactly
a traditional one, for sure. So how many games, Andy? I got to put you on the spot.
I think the Reds win 38 games this year.
38 games this year. John, same question for you. Your prediction.
A couple less, maybe 35 or 36. I think that actually could be good enough to win the division. I'm going to go out on a limb. Andy mentioned the possibility of the franchise having its first Cy Young Award winner. I think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be Louis Castillo. And outside shot, look for Suarez to take a run at the home run championship. That could be as many as 23 or 24, given the way he hits the ball. So it's going to be a fun year. I think if everybody stays healthy, and that's the typical bromide, typical caution we all issue at this time of year. But really, the rotations are incredibly deep, arguably third or fifth best in Major League Baseball. Maybe a little suspect in the bullpen, but Andy and Howard are right. The offense is awesome. If Votto has a good year, they're going to the World Series.
John, I've only got about 30 seconds left, but you've got a fascinating piece in Cincinnati Magazine that baseball came to Cincinnati even earlier than we thought. We all know the long history, but you've uncovered that it goes back a little farther. Give us a quick pitch on why we should read this article and what we'll learn.
Quick pitch, available online for free at CincinnatiMagazine.com. First baseball games here were played in 1858. The new rules came out of New York City in March of that year. 2 months later, Cincinnati was playing its first baseball games on the east side, sit-down Westsiders. It started on the east side. And most importantly, the piece actually is going to be developed into a Reds walking tour downtown. It integrates the story of the first baseball games, and get this, the open secret of the workings of the Underground Railroad, people living side by side, 100,000 strong. So it's going to be a good year, I think, for the fans. Even if they can't get in the ballpark, come out and take a tour.
Well, we'll have you back on to talk more about that as it gets developed. John Arardi, local sports writer, Fox Sports Radio host Andy Furman, always a pleasure, and WVXU senior political analyst Howard Wilkinson will be back with us next Thursday for the Political Junkie. Guys, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks.
Coming up at 2 o'clock here on 91.7 WVXU, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine and Ohio Lieutenant Governor John Husted will hold their media conference about the status of the coronavirus here in the Buckeye State. We will have that on our air. And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. The composer of this theme song is Rob Fetters. You can find archives of all of our episodes at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.